the Iraqis, who have just, we're told, we're pulling our troops out. We never negotiated with them. Now we want them to do us a favor and stop Iran from using their airspace to get them guns and weapons and sustain the Assad regime. They're basically just blowing us off.
Well, we lost any center of influence there, and unfortunately, it was a political calculation, I think, by the administration. They decided, gee, we were going to negotiate. It's called a status of forces agreement. I call it a SOFA. And what that meant is, you know, how our soldiers are treated when they're there to try to keep peace and maintain the gains that were made. And, you know, there was some disagreement. So I think the president took the opportunity to say, well, if we can't get that, we're just out. And what happened was we ceded ground to the Iranians, who are playing in Iraq, who literally caused the deaths of hundreds of U.S. soldiers through their clandestine activities in Iraq. And now they're significantly impacting the Iraqi regime there in a way that's really destabilizing. So when we show up after we kind of abandon the folks that we said we'd help and wonder why, they say, listen, you guys left and we'll do what we want.
And they also say they want us to do more to stop a radical Sunni regime for taking over Syria. They have a point of view, too.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the radical Islamist Sunnis are coming from Iraq. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has regrown, and now it is its largest influence in the Syrian fight. And here's the problem. So you had a lot of secular units who were doing the fighting. These Islamists show up, the radical Al-Qaeda affiliate, it's called the Al-Nusra Front, show up, attach themselves to these units, and because they're the best equipped, best trained, and most tenacious fighters, they become ingrained in these units. And so now it gets very blurry very quickly. And the number used to be in the hundreds, we believed, and now we believe it's in the thousands, and people are pouring in. And that's what's so concerning, because when this is over, Brian, how do we secure those chemical weapon stockpiles? How do we secure the very sophisticated conventional weapons that are there, anti-aircraft missiles and the like? That's why it's so important. We have real small groups with very special capabilities that can really make an impact on this. And I argue that if you want to regain that center of influence so this thing is not a disaster for weapons going into southern Europe, across the Levant, all over the Middle East, the U.S. has to have a leadership role. And they're asking for it. The Arab League is actually asking for it, which is kind of an unusual event for us.
But Chairman Rogers, as you know, the Arab League also pushed us to get involved in Libya, and they disappeared.
Well, to some degree, the Qataris were still there. The problem was we had all we did to show up, fire some missiles, turn around and leave. And those of us who were worried about their conventional weapon stockpile said, hey, that's a terrible plan. So we didn't coordinate. We didn't offer assistance in how to secure those particular weapon systems. And Mali is the first victim of that. They looted all of those weapon systems. You can buy just about anything all across northern Africa now.
Right.
And so doing a bad plan is no way to do it. Doing nothing is equally as bad. You have to apply it smart. And it just means, and again, this isn't about the 101st Airborne Division showing up in Syria. That's exactly the last thing we need. But we do have special capabilities that we can apply to
right.
this, including training and rallying the Arab League so that they can secure these weapon sites. But without training, without U.S. Leadership on that, it's not going to happen.
Al Arabiya is reporting this, and I don't know what you're permitted to, and we're talking with Chairman Rogers, the House Intelligence Committee Chairman. The CIA has helped Arab countries and Turkey increase military aid to Syrian rebels over the past few months. The New York Times has also written that as well. Is the CIA active in that region?
Well, I mean, the difficulty here is that the U.S. has only participated in humanitarian aid, and for a long time they were counting their success and, you know, the numbers of water bottles delivered. And again, unless you do something that turns the hearts and minds of the opposition to believe that we're with them, we are not going to be a center of influence there when this thing falls apart. And it will fall apart at some point, and we're going to be the ones holding the bag to try to clean up the mess of those weapons proliferating all across the Middle East. That's why I argue small and smart now saves us big and ugly later, and we better be small and smart right now.
Well, do you look for the president to take action? Did he get an earful when he traveled there last week?
I'm sure he did. They certainly tell us frequently, and I meet with folks from that region often. And, you know, our allies are mad at us. The opposition is more than mad at us. And then they go and say they're going to create some diplomatic solution with the Russians and others. And we have no credibility. We have no leverage. And so I know he heard it. You can tell by some of the questions the reporters asked. Now, if he listened and it motivates him, I don't know. I hope so, for the sake of our own national security and that of our allies. You know, again, small and effective now is much, much better than big and ugly later.